is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to VAR You Serious. After a fantastic weekend, I'm joined by the Man City fan to my right, Kim Qatari. And if you didn't know, if you're living under a rock, not that it's major, it's only a pre-season friendly, they say. We're champions of the Community Shield. Yeah, we won on the weekend. But
we're champions of the Community
Yeah,
Shield.
Just want to hear that. Just one more
time.
That
is so embarrassing.
And you know what? It compounds it even more. We are the joint record holders of the Community Shield.
It's a game. It's one game.
Yeah, I know.
It's one game.
But we're the champs.
It's one game designated for extra financial gain for the TV companies.
And for the community. Big up the communities, the grassroots football and all that. But if you just, on the screen yesterday, it just said 2026 champions of the Community Shield. It said in red. It didn't actually say Arsenal,
just quickly. Do you actually...
I just wanted to start with this energy.
No, but I'm just saying, do you actually really think that? Because that's quite embarrassing. Well, that shows how small you are.
I will go as far to say yesterday on the car journey home, they had the replica medal of the Community Shield online, and I went to buy it. £20. I was thinking, maybe I'd add this to my Premier League one. But then I thought, is that too far? Then I thought, nah, it probably is. I don't care about that.
It's a small club mentality.
No, it's not.
It is pathetic.
It's absolutely pathetic. With City.
You win a game against a team who 70% of the players who were on the pitch yesterday have had 3 days training with a new manager.
To be fair, we had a lot.
You win a game and we had more possession, more shots, more crosses, more chances.
Is that that can't be?
That's a fact. You scored your only 3 shots on target.
Yeah, well, I was clinical yesterday.
And David Raya made an amazing save. Ben White made an amazing block.
Two amazing saves. I think
the Foden one was an okay.
Joint shots, more shots on target. We were clinical. Our four shots on target, 3 of them converted. That's good. 56% possession. I thought you guys in possession.
People are going on as if we got absolutely like dog walked and embarrassed. You just had 3 chances and scored them.
We
had 4 chances and missed them.
I feel like the stats are very misleading. And I don't know, but because I felt like that. That's so annoying that the stats are like that. Because watching the game, I thought, and again, I'm not going to go too far. Of course, I started with a bit of shamelessness. Of course I did. That's how we are. But we're being serious. And I sent Kim a joke message. A joke message yesterday saying, see you to Ryan. He said, it's pathetic, basically. And I get that. It's only a laugh. It's only the Community Shield. But I will say, because I'll be honest, you can't. When I was doing fan cams yesterday, I was trying to explain to the fans. And me and Robbie both were saying to some fans, calm down. Ty went a bit. He got really...
Like he does.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't like Man City at all. So I understand his frustration. But I say calm down because you can win the Community Shield and really have a really bad season, and you could lose the Community Shield and win the league. And there's actually more evidence of that than there is of it not being that. So I didn't want to get too carried away, but you can look at things. When I spoke to fans, I said, there is definitely things you can take from this game. We played so well. I thought Man City was awful. Misplacing passes. I saw Shirky passing the ball off the pitch, or someone passing the ball off the pitch. No, it wasn't actually him. It was someone else, but he got annoyed and they were arguing.
It was Kovacic, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like, put it to, like, why you played it behind me? And I was like, oh my God. And this happened more than once, by the way. Players get passing the ball off the pitch. There was really bad, like, just moments from Man City. They just looked off the boil completely. I think the midfield was horrendous from you guys. Yeah, okay. You're missing Rodri, Bernardo Silva, fine. And they are big misses, but Robbie kept saying, it's Bernardo Silva they're missing. I said, no, Rodri, connects that defence and midfield, and that was non-existent. We were playing through the midfield. We don't do that.
No, you were.
Arsenal don't do that. We go round the side and we're boring, I'll be honest. Of last season, we were Marzo Schedi's rolling Foden, slipping balls through the middle. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Bruno Guimaraes, straight away onto Doku. The first thing he did was push Doku, physical, straight away, angry, aggressive, pushes him off the ball. Probably was a foul, if I'm honest. Ref doesn't give it. I said Bruno's becomes a fan favourite in seconds and he's up for it. We haven't really gone into the full ins and outs. Firstly, I should go from the beginning. Being in Cardiff, beautiful place, lovely people, amazing. But the traffic was a joke. It took us 5.5 hours to get there. And I know I'm doing complaining about the smaller things, but it's just so annoying because the reason why we didn't play at Wembley is because the weekend was performing. Now, whether you like the weekend or not, if you're listening, I can't believe they've put a... And maybe that goes to the argument that Kim might say is it's a pre-season glorified pre-season friendly. that is so small that, you know, they've weekend pushed out. And there's an argument for that, but it just really annoyed me because we had to get to Cardiff and the lanes to get into Cardiff were so, like, two lanes to get in and traffic was a joke. So 5.5 hours to get there. We got there and just on kickoff, and luckily we got there just on time because obviously the goal went in so soon. Calafrio with the goal, what a goal. The play was just, Arsenal started fast. For Arsenal fans and people that, you know, follow the club regularly, they'll know that last season they followed the PSG model. From kickoff, you pass it back, you boot it to the corner, you gain possession, you gain territory. I've never loved it. I always thought it was a Sunday league thing. Arsenal changed that and started, they went from kickoff and started bopping it through the middle, and we actually scored straight away. So that was a change. It's something different. It's something I want to see in pre-season. I want to see a different style of play from Arsenal. I want to see something that we're not relying on corners and set pieces. I'm not saying we fully did that all of last season, but it was possession-based football, slow build-up, jousting at the beginning, and we had to build into the game. This was a completely different start for Arsenal's, you know, game, and hopefully start the Premier League, and we see that going into Coventry. But yeah, in the end, 3-0. Kim, so you weren't there, firstly?
No. I got to the airport early to watch it. I was flying back from Porto.
Fair.
Got to the airport, streamed it on my phone, watched the whole game.
Did you switch? Oh, you watched the whole game? I was going to say, did you switch off at any point?
No. Watched the whole game. Yeah, we were rubbish. We were absolutely rubbish. But there's not really that much point because we just will be rubbish for ages, and maybe we won't get better, and then that'll be it. There's not really that much I can say. Like, we are going to be bad for a while.
I think you had concerns about Maresca before. Yeah, because when we did the show, I think when I brought him up, you were like, I have a certain feeling, but you didn't really want to.
I've got concerns about him. I can't go into the season after a pre-season friendly and already write him off. No. I can't do that. I've got to be positive for this season. I've got to be positive for the first couple of months. But we've lost John Stones, who was a big leader. We've lost Bernardo Silva, who was a massive leader. Rodri's in Barcelona right now, having his medical. So he's going. So we've lost all these leaders, and we've lost the biggest leader of them all in Pep Guardiola. And we've got a new manager in Enzo Maresca, who, in my opinion, hasn't done enough, really, to be the manager of Manchester City. He hasn't got the pedigree to do that. It was disappointing to hear Leicester fans. I thought they would have been the ones who would be really complimentary about him, considering he won so many points in so many games with them in the Championship. Even they said, his football's really boring. You're going to be frustrated watching him. And I saw that yesterday. It's way too early to be too negative. Look, like, you have had Arteta for 6-7 years.
Yeah,
obviously, you're going to win in a game against us where most of our players have just come back and they've had 2 days with the new manager. That's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. It'd be very odd if we just went out and won 3-0. So I've got to give Maresca time. If we're still playing like that yesterday, in a month or 2 months' time, serious conversations already need to be happening because it was completely unacceptable. The defence isn't good enough. I think 1 week out from the Premier League season, I don't want to see Kucinov playing at right back when he's our best centre back.
What was that about?
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see us spending $210 million on Elliot Anderson, an 18-year-old midfielder, but completely refusing to buy a right back, which we've needed for the last decade. I don't understand why we're not attacking there. And I think, to be completely honest, and I'm not being overly negative, I still have hopes for this season.
Yeah, right. So
we've still got a couple of weeks left of the transfer window. Enzo Maresca's still got time to bed in his players. But I honestly don't look at our team, and I think there are just too many average players in that team.
Well,
that's the honest truth.
Okay, got more honesty then. Like, Phil Foden, like, he's got a... I thought he'd be back. Every preseason I see him doing his training videos, he looks immense. And I feel like, you might see the old Foden.
Didn't really get the ball because Elliot Anderson was too busy just kicking it out of play.
I couldn't believe how bad he was.
I think he actually kicked the ball out of play 4 or 5 times. He was so out of his depth. But again, he's only just come back. He came back on Wednesday, played on Sunday with a completely new team and a new manager and a new environment and new players. It's fine for people to have an off day.
Jack Grealish been back in the side.
I was really happy with that.
Yeah, but that was...
He looked good. He was one of the only ones who didn't give the ball away. He actually kept the ball a lot. He put in a great ball for Guardiola. I'm trying not to get too negative about it. We discussed off air, obviously I'm starting a City channel. I don't want to go into that being negative. I want to be positive about my team. I was excited to see them under Maresca. It's nice to have change. I just look at the squad and I wonder, are there that many world-class players? Are there any world-class players?
Apart from Erling Haaland.
Apart from Erling Haaland, now Rodri's gone, now Bernardo Silva's gone. Are there any world-class
Ruben
players?
I mean,
Ruben Diaz. Ruben Diaz.
I've got to be honest.
He has had one good season in his entire City career. He's had one good season. He was absolutely awful yesterday. Yeah, he was awful for the whole last season. He was awful for the season before. He's too busy doing off-the-pitch antics with his Maya Jammers and his little Love Island B-list celebrities. And he's not concentrating on football at all. And the fact that he's our captain worries me.
He's the captain. I didn't know that. Wow.
Doku, incredibly inconsistent.
Yeah, he is.
Very inconsistent.
Honestly, Semenyo, same thing.
Semenyo, very inconsistent.
Didn't really get much of the ball yesterday.
Mateus Nunes, good, but not really a right back.
Donnarumma, I mean, he was awful yesterday, but he's a good goalkeeper.
He's probably world class.
He is.
It's hard to say that after yesterday when he basically made three mistakes through the goals. But he's probably world class. But I think it's post Pep, isn't it? It's never going to be easy.
I think you're gonna have a tough. I know you're starting a City channel and what you just mentioned there, but I think you're gonna have a tough time. I feel like you're holding back. You're getting to a point as a content creator as well, or a social media voice around your football club is like, you're gonna have to go again. You want to be positive. I'm always positive as well, but sometimes there's I know what I'm seeing. There's gonna be a slide endorsement when you might. The season hasn't started, so this could all be hot air.
Crazy chat.
Yeah, it could be crazy chat. But I just feel like. Looking at you, looking in your eyes, and knowing from before the preseason started, and you had doubts. I believe in Enzo Maresca. And do you know what? On top of that, you mentioned there's reasons to it. Pep's going, all the key players are going. There's to your argument. You have a lot of strength in it. If things don't go the right way, right? But I understand you have to kind of support back. There's a process. I had to with Arteta. We had the same thing.
My main worry is that. If I'm just going to be completely honest then. I would just be completely honest.
Thank you.
I don't think Enzo Maresca is anywhere near good enough. And part of me just thinks that no one after Pep would have worked anyway.
Agreed.
And I think he's probably just been put in there because he knows the players, he likes the players, and it's kind of a way to steady the ship.
Correct.
That is genuinely my honest opinion. I'm probably not going to clip this up and put it out on social media anyway, because I dictate what gets clipped up.
I respect
so
that.
So I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think he's anywhere near good enough. I think his main tactic is to try and get the ball to the wingers. Mm. If you're a manager who has any sense about you, like Mikel Arteta, all you do is just put two players on the wing, and we literally couldn't do anything. And we've lost John Stones, who, in my opinion, was probably our best ever defender. And he still had football left in him. He went to Inter Milan. Yeah. It's not like he's gone back to Barnsley. He's gone to Inter Milan, who are probably going to win the league this year. Bernardo Silva still had football left in him. He's gone to Real Madrid, the best club in the world. And Rodri, he's gone to Barcelona, probably the second best club in the world. So these are three players that we've lost who are literally going to top teams. And we've replaced them, respectfully, with Elliot Anderson from Nottingham Forest, who's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's supposed
he's
to be...
good.
Well,
he's good.
I don't rate him as highly as everyone else does, but
he's good. Yeah. He's fine. And then Boyardi, who we're about to sign for £85 million, who's an 18-year-old who's played 60 games of professional football. Really?
Yeah, it's not great.
Like, really? Is that what we're supposed to be excited about?
It's not great.
We've got a centre-attacking mid at right-back, still. We refuse to solve those issues. We've got Ruben Diaz, who's our captain, who, in my opinion, is far worse than Kucinov, far worse than Gueye, and far worse than Gvardiol. But he's still starting.
Oh, yeah, Mark Gay didn't... I couldn't believe it.
We've got Kovacic starting at centre-mid.
Yeah, what the hell?
What's going on?
I know, mess. He was awful yesterday as well.
Seriously, what's going on?
I'm glad you gave your honest opinion, because I can see it. And also, I've been there. Like I said, Arteta came in. We weren't happy with it. I didn't think it was the right... Well, actually, I didn't really have an opinion on the appointment at the start. But like you said, he's come in, Enzo Maresca. You want him to steady the ship, so... But City's expectations and standards should be, you should still pick up a trophy next season.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's an issue.
As I said to you before, my honest opinion is that it's just a stopgap until Vincent Kompany is ready to come. Yeah. When Vincent Kompany comes, then I'll be excited and I'll be really, really hopeful that we'll win something. At the moment with Enzo Maresca, again, I literally can't clip any of this up. I can't let this go viral, but because it's just too negative.
I'll collaborate with this one if you do.
It's truthful though, isn't it?
It's too truthful.
You're watching it yesterday and you're just like, this is shit.
It's mad. I couldn't believe it.
It's not even the same team.
I couldn't believe it. And it's funny because a guy whose name's fans called Ryan. He's an Arsenal fan, and instead of coming out and lauding Arsenal, which you'd expect most Arsenal fans, they were talking about City were awful, and I'm like. Did we? And I kept doing the presenter thing. I have to do the you know, the middle ground man and say, but did we not make them look awful? And yeah, some people said yeah, but then they're also like, but City were really bad. And that is, it's so annoying because we can talk, and we will talk about how brilliant Arsenal were. I can talk about it throughout the show when we go to the next segments and stuff. But City, like you said, I sat there, I was like, oh wow, this is not good.
No.
Donnarumma being like, putting on his bum, and I know it's all down to him, it's the defence, the midfield that led to all those situations. Like, we're cutting through you like a knife. Going through a hot knife through butt, and I couldn't believe it.
Again, though, only a few days for a lot of these players. It is pre-season. Mm. I don't think anyone really celebrates it when they win. I don't think anyone cares that much when they lose. I mean, for us, when we lose, we usually go on to have a better season.
Yeah, of course, you want to treble off the back of
exactly. So I'm not that bothered about the game. I'm not really that bothered about the fact we lost. I just didn't.
But there must be alarm bells there, though. That's the only thing. I know what you're saying, and I'm not going to go overboard and be like, ah, we're. I did say we're champions of the country, but I'm bantering at the beginning. Now I'm like talking about it seriously. I'm not saying because of that performance, we smoke every team. That's not going to happen. But I still look at it and think, oh, we played well. But you must be thinking...
I think we were so miles off it that I'm thinking, like, we've got Bournemouth at home. They've got a new manager as well. I could see us not winning that. Then we've got Palace away.
No, you can't say that.
Then we've got Palace away. That's going to be quite difficult. Only about 3, 4, 5 games into the season, we've got Man United. That's going to be quite difficult. So I think the first couple of months, like, because we're so far away, it's not like we showed glimpses, but we lost 3-0. We looked really, really shit, pretty much to a man.
Alarm
we looked
bells.
Terrible.
Alarm bells.
Our main creative player was Phil Foden, who just didn't really do anything. Cherky came on and he looked a bit better.
Yeah, he did look a bit better.
Kovacic, really? Like, I like him, but... You can't be starting games.
I don't think he should even be in your squad. I'll be honest. I don't want to be. Listen, I can't be. It's your team, but like.
And then Doku and Semenyo didn't really do very much. But then again, they didn't really have the ball. But if we're going to be playing through the wings, any manager is worth his salt. He's just going to be able to do that. Yeah. So you're going to need someone in the midfield.
Erling Haaland was non-existent. I know he's still Erling Haaland, but
Haaland wasn't great.
Didn't really.
But Nico O'Reilly was good.
He was good. He's always good in my opinion.
I thought Kucinov was okay. And that is, yeah, that's about it. So, yeah, worried. But as I say, this is how I expect the first few months to go.
Fair, fair. Well, that's the Arsenal City review chat. Should I have given Kim more stick? You let me know. I don't know if I should have. I mean, I'll give you a little few things. It was nice doing the Poznan. It was nice singing second again, Ale Ale. It was good banter amongst the fans. To be fair, the City fans gave us the European Cup chance when we're singing champions and all that. So, it was good banner. I actually enjoyed it. And yes, we had more fans, more allocation. I know that was a big talking point. I had Boovy on in the week and he was just like, they don't really care. But I'll be honest, it was still pretty much sold out. I think it was 58,000 fans were there.
Way more City fans than people were trying to make out on social media beforehand.
That I will say. That's what I was trying to kind of allude
like sort
to.
Of 60,
I don't,
40,
I don't want to, yeah, I don't, I didn't want to, obviously the narrative is, are we, but I'll be honest, it was yeah, we had more, but it wasn't like
yeah, it wasn't 90-10 or something.
Yeah. So I did want to kind of mention that. But anyway, listen, what a win, 3-0. We go into the season. The season opens this Friday against Coventry. Arsenal opening obviously the Premier League season this week, and obviously of course we'll be back to discuss that, I'm sure. And obviously Man City's game against Bournemouth on Monday. But don't worry, this isn't the end of the show. It sounds like a wrap up. We're here to go to talk about the transfers. And Kim will actually lead on a lot of this. Obviously I've seen quite a bit, but a lot of these are related to Man City players. I will say that Gabriel Martinelli from an Arsenal point of view was not in the squad yesterday, nor was Ethan Wanyeri. Now deep down, my honest truth is I don't want to see any of them go. I understand business is business and money has to be made, and I understand all those things, and Arsenal still need to sign more players, but it's a shame if they do go. It's likely they will, because unless they're injured, but I don't think there's been a word of injury. So, from my sense, yeah, I think Besiktas wanted Trossard and Martinelli. I don't really know the destinations of both Ethan Wanyeri.
The Turkish league is going to be so good next
stacked,
year.
Yeah, they're stacking. They're stacking up with players.
Might actually have to start properly tuning in. Yeah, same. Because they've got some good teams out, haven't they?
Same. I don't know what's going on. Like, even...
But the government brought in a new special rule just for footballers, which was basically no matter how much you earn, you're capped if you're a footballer at tax at 20%.
I was gonna say, yeah, because the tax is low there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why there's been issues of like players coming from the Turkish league, because they're like, I think Osman was saying like, well, I want this amount because after tax. I'm in this Turkey, I'm getting this much a week. Yeah, because of the tax rules, but when I come here,
it was something like, I think if you went to Chelsea, we'd have to be on about 600 grand a week to make
600 to 500 grand a week. So that's which is mad.
Fair play, it's stacked. It looks good.
It does look good. It does look good. Rodri set to sign 4-year contract at Barcelona after they agreed a £65.4 million deal to sign from Man City. We were arguing this in the car on the way back that they were saying, well, because he had 1 year left of his contract, his age, they were saying it's a bargain. But I'm like, no, it should be. It is a bargain. No, they're saying it wasn't a bargain. They said they overpaid. I said, no, they should be paying more.
I think that's about right.
I think, listen, he's a Ballon d'Or winner. Yeah. I know he had a bad season last year, but that World Cup, I think he looked better than obviously, yeah, 70, I think 80 million. The fees for players right now in this window, Rodri could have went for more. I know there's 1 year left on his contract, but I'm sorry, the player of what he is, and I still think he's got more in him. I would have taken him. Actually, we couldn't have fit him in. We've got Bruno and that. But bloody hell, I think Rodri's quality. But yeah. Barcelona is his destination, back in Spain, back with friends, I'm assuming. I mean, you must be, I don't know if you're devastated.
Yeah, it's good,
he's giving you the best, but best years of, I'm sure, of your life as well.
As I say, I've got no expectation for this season anyway. He's going to leave at some point.
Kim is down, people.
No, I'm not down. I'm being just completely honest and realistic.
Fair.
It's a shame. I think with Rodri and our team, we could have done something this year. I do think that without Rodri, I just think there's very little chance. The Biardi replacement is one of them where in 6 to 12 months, we might be saying that is one of the best signings of all time. Like, wow, they really saw something there. Or we might be saying what we kind of probably think now, which is that a bit much for an 18-year-old who's not played much football?
Yeah, to me, it's just a World Cup hype. And it's maybe he's done really well in any.
He was good for Lille. Okay,
so I didn't watch him enough, if I'm being completely honest. I'll be real about that. I watched him in the World Cup. I said, this is a very good player. We was linked to him, so I did the research. I was like, okay, cool. I'd love him at Arsenal. But then I look at all the James Rodriguez of the world that have a good tournament. And like you said, he's good for Lille. So maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but yeah, I don't. The whole tournament hype then get a massive move.
It's an interesting profile.
I do worry about.
It's an interesting profile of a player, though, isn't it? Because CDM, you think you want someone with a bit of experience there. And we're kind of replacing Rodri, who's 30 years old, and replacing him with an 18-year-old.
So technically good, though.
And it's fine that he's really technically good. Signing Biardi, I would be so excited about if he was to come in to learn under Rodri.
Facts.
But he's coming in to replace him.
Doesn't feel right.
Doesn't feel right.
I hear that.
It doesn't feel right. It makes me nervous. But look,
I hear that.
We'll just have to see what happens. We need more than just that.
And just for a comparison of that, that's like Declan Rice being replaced with Miles Lewis-Skelly. Miles Lewis-Skelly is phenomenal, but he's 19 years old. And Declan Rice is, in my opinion, he's experienced now. He is an experienced player. So not to say I wouldn't mind Miles Lewis-Skelly playing there, but I have a bit of an anxious feeling because he's so young. There's a lot of pressure on him. When you have Rice and Miles Lewis-Skelly, lovely. When you have a Bruno, he's an experienced player. Yeah. I understand that. When we got Bruno, I was like, Rice, you can sit on the bench because Bruno's an experienced and I trust him because he's older. But if I said, Rice, you can sit on the bench, I'm putting in a Miles Lewis-Skelly or a younger profile, I'm like, oof, he's good. But
it also obviously hinges on the fact of whether we do get Enzo Fernandez as well.
Well, let's discuss that. I hate Enzo Fernandez.
I want you.
I hate him.
No.
I hate.
Okay,
like,
look.
I hate him.
Hands up. At this stage, until he wears a City kit, I also hate him.
I shouldn't say hate. I don't hate him, but I very much dislike him.
He's a dislikable player.
Facts.
But he's probably one of those players who, when he plays for you, you absolutely love him. There are loads of players like that, and he probably is.
Yeah, Bernardo was the best. I just don't know
how good he is.
Nor do I.
I actually don't know, and that's not me saying that he's not good. I'm saying that I genuinely don't know how good he is. Like when you watch Chelsea,
he's a World
I've never
Cup winner.
Thought, like,
he's got all these accolades. He's
scored in the semi final against England.
The Chelsea fans do talk him up, but I watch him. I'm like, meh.
I think he's good.
Yeah, but
I was watching him. I'm just like, oh, you're a good player, but you're £120 million worth of player? I'm not sure, but I'll be honest with you. I want him. I think.
But you need something in that midfield, I'll tell you that.
We need a bit of a dog, don't we?
You need something like, in the midfield.
You yesterday, and it's what you always do, it's how you won the league last year, is you are just shithouses. You do your dark arts, you foul from corners, you moan at the referee.
Calafuri,
it's just what you do.
Down,
Arteta does his like, shouting little things. He's Oof, I'm not even going to go into him.
Kim does not like.
No, I'd actually not like forgotten. Mikel. I'd actually forgotten. Like when I watch him, how much my blood boils. He's absolutely disgusting.
I love him.
Yeah,
love the
man. Of course you do.
I'm going to be seeing him next week at the PFA Awards. Anyway, carry on.
Tell him. Send him a message from me.
Kim Man C Man absolutely despises you.
Hates you. Where was I even going?
Sorry,
with that?
Yeah, no, you're talking about, you need a dog in the midfield.
We need a dog.
You need someone, yeah.
We need a dog. You've got the dark arts, and we were so weak yesterday. Bruno, we don't have that. So I think Enzo would add that. So I just want new players. We need new players.
Yeah.
So if he comes in, Biardi comes in, we'll get a winger to replace Savinho. I'm happy with that.
Kovacic needs to come out of that midfield, my friend.
He won't be starting.
He needs to come out of that midfield.
He won't be starting.
Oh, he was all over the place. But I just think, I think you're right there. I think. And I mean, I'm definitely not a fan of him. Takes a lot of long. He's a good player. I'm not gonna shadow or cloud my assessment of his personality to the player that he is. He's a good player. Right. After this, we'll be back. We have to obviously talk about the Premier League start, which will be happening on Friday as we open and put on a show, hopefully, for the rest of the Premier League teams come this Friday. And then maybe a few other transfers. We'll touch on them briefly straight after this.
VAR, are you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
I was going to rattle through Newcastle and talks over permanent signing of Joao Palhinha from Bayern Munich. Good player. Newcastle needs reinforcements. I'll be honest, after the amount of players they've lost, that's a simple conversation. A lot of people are worried about them this season. I'm not surprised they've lost pretty much everyone. Aston Villa have agreed a £29.9 million deal with Parma to sign Japan goalkeeper, of course, Suzuki. I know Fabrizio Romano was all over this and having a go at Daily Mail and all that. Do you know what? Just a quick one. Daily Mail or Daily Sport or whatever, the Mail Online, whatever it is. They obviously did an expo on Fabrizio Romano. He's going back and forth with them. If you haven't seen it, you can literally find it on X. Same thing, Daily Mail as well. Did it on AFTV. They tried to not shut us down. They just did an expo. Then they kept on AFTV. And then I don't know what it was actually. I forgot what it was even on. I think it was on the fact that, our views were down because we were winning, which was a complete lie. Our views have been the highest they've ever been when we won the league. So they just tried to spin a narrative. They put paid social media usage behind it, and then they repurposed it as well. So it's just like, you lot are just absolute, they boil my skin, and boil my blood is actually the word. But they tried to do it for Fabrizio Romano. He clapped back at them and said, try and be quicker than me, mate. Ha, lol. No one goes to these newspaper outlets
anymore. He's getting an absolute cooking though, Romano online.
Is he?
He's going to quit.
Really?
And then this will be his last transfer window, yeah. Because he's turned into an influencer, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's what he is.
And he gets paid by footballers. Like, yeah. He's always posting about Mason Greenwood's amazing goal in training.
Ridiculous.
It's a bit like, come
on. What are you doing? Yeah.
We can all see through this.
And he probably doesn't even need the money anymore. He's probably made so much.
He's lost his integrity a bit, hasn't he? Like him, and I think he's done amazingly hard work to get to where he's gone, but he's lost his integrity.
People say David Ornstein now is the guy. Everyone says that is the person they go to now, I think.
Well, he's a journalist.
Yes. Yeah, so.
And Romano's become an influencer. That's the truth.
That's it.
But in the words of Rio Ferdinand, we've just got to enjoy them both.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true. Messi and Ronaldo, you just got to
enjoy
them both.
Here we go, gets me excited.
Juventus agree a deal to sign Vicario.
Yeah.
Oh, that was supposed to be Emi Martinez, by the way. That fell through late last night, yeah. I think. That was a...
And Villa have gone for Suzuki, haven't they?
Yeah.
Bit of a goalkeeper change. Yeah, crazy.
Interesting. Well, that's good. And that was a quick little small transfer roundup. Let's talk Premier League. So your game, I mean, your game's quite a favourable game, but you said you're gonna lose it to start. Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. I didn't say we'd lose it.
Oh, I thought you said you'd probably. Oh, when you said earlier, you said about Bournemouth and you said away.
Yeah, I said it's gonna be difficult. Oh, okay. It is gonna be difficult.
But you think you win?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no expectation.
Kim, you're an empty fan right now. What's going on?
I'm not an empty fan, but you're asking me opinions about something which is so impossible to be opinionated about.
Okay, fair.
We were absolutely awful yesterday. We were quite good in pre-season. Who knows?
And is it at Vitality as well?
No, it's at City.
Oh, you saw? Oh, that surely.
Yeah, no, you think so.
Surely.
So. But then if the defence is that bad again, we'll concede quite a few goals. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's making me feel, I can't lie, I feel, it's only because it's you, you're my friend, I feel like, I feel a little bit for you. But for City, I'm like, Man City, I'm like, this is a great place. As an Arsenal fan.
But it's not a great place because you don't know either. We could go to the Etihad and we could beat Bournemouth 5-0 and no one would be that surprised. And the headlines the next day would just be like, oh, Maresca's found a formula. That could happen. That's not beyond the realm of possibility.
I know, but I feel like it's leaning more towards Bournemouth give you a hard game. I think you beat them. I do think you beat them. I just don't think it's going to be... like. I think that's what you said. I think it's going to be difficult.
It'll be difficult.
I think it'll be like a 2-1. That's what I think it will be.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to do predictions towards the end, but like, I'll go, yeah, it'll be a tight game, 2-1 City, but it'll be an uncomfortable one. Maybe a Bournemouth goal to start as well, and it's all nervy. And then somehow that experience, it finds a way.
I mean, in a way, what I will say about the game yesterday, about the Community Shield, is if we're going to be bad, I would rather be publicly that bad on a big stage, get the piss taken out of us, so then Maresca can go back to the players at training and be like, this was absolutely shocking. Yeah. We can't do this again and we can learn from him. I'd rather that than like yesterday, as I said, like the stats were actually pretty even. If you didn't score your third goal and we got one and we only lost 2-1 and we had another couple of chances, even though the performance would still be bad, people would just be like, oh, it's okay, you only lost 2-1, blah, blah, blah. And then it might go on. But in a way, I'm quite glad that it was like, that was really awful. We really need to address all of these problems and we need to address them soon. And he'll have an extra week. By the time that we play Bournemouth, the players, the ones who went far in the World Cup, which is the majority of our starting 11, Mark Gahey, Elliot Anderson, etc., they will have had 9 days of Enzo Maresca. They will have had 9 days training, which in my opinion should be enough to get a decent result against Bournemouth. So anything can happen. I literally can't read into that game yesterday because I went into it after the three pre-season games we played.
You was all right in pre-season,
when we were
though.
Actually pretty good. I went into that game yesterday thinking, oh, I think we'll be really good. It'll be really exciting to see what we've got. We were really bad, but I can't just instantly change my mind and go into every game going, oh, we're going to be awful now. Anything can happen.
This question, how much do you miss Pep already? Now.
Yeah.
Because the only reason why, and the reason why I say that, I know it might sound like a dumb question because the season hasn't started, but do you know what's weird? If Pep was still your manager, I would be nervous. I'll be like, this would fuel the Man City team going into the season. Like, you can't be this. What you just said, that you can't be this bad again. But if Pep was saying all this, I'd be like, oh no, they're gonna find something. And it's so weird. Now you have a new manager, I'm like, meh. Dude, this could be you.
Honestly, seeing Maresca yesterday on the touchline in like a proper game, shaking hands with Arteta, like it was hard not to feel emotional about the lack of Pep. Just from a personal level,
I
will always miss Pep. I'm so upset that he's still not there. And obviously after the performance, I'm even more upset. And you are right. If we'd sold Rodri but brought in Biardi and maybe Enzo Fernandez under Pep, my initial thought would be Enzo Fernandez is going to be an absolute world beater.
Yeah,
and in 2 years, Biardi is going to be the best centre defensive mid in the world. And let's be honest, we probably would have been right. On the chance of probability, we probably would have been right. Now I'm going into the season with Enzo Maresca and I genuinely have absolutely no idea. Like, you're trying to ask me my prediction for the Bournemouth game. It could be anything.
It could be anything.
We could win 5-0, we could lose 3-0, and neither of them I would be that surprised because I just don't know. Damn. I just don't know. He didn't pull up enough trees at Leicester and he didn't pull up enough trees at Chelsea for me to
done
now...
Done well at Chelsea. Yeah, just not pull up... I know what you're saying.
He wasn't good enough for me to now be super, super positive. But he also wasn't bad enough for me to not be able to put my trust in him.
Yeah, because...
The City hierarchy wanted him. The players like him. He did well under Pep as an assistant coach. Yeah. So I've just got to give him the trust. I've got to give him 2 or 3 months.
Anyone coming in after Pep's going to be... It's a difficult feat.
You're going to ask me these questions for the next 2 or 3 months and my answer is going to be very much the same.
No, but as it goes along, you should start to...
We can start to pick up patterns, but for the next 2 or 3 months, we're probably just not going to be that good. It would have been exactly the same under anyone after Pep, even if, in my opinion, the best candidate was Vincent Kompany. Even if Kompany had come in for the first couple of months...
That's fair.
You've got to give these managers grace. Fair. It's after Pep Guardiola. It's not just a normal change of manager.
If Luis Enrique or someone come in, still think the same thing?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, fair.
I think I would have more confidence because I've got more things to be confident about.
Correct.
Enzo Maresca is a relatively unknown quantity. So, yeah, I'm nervous. We've just lost to Arsenal 3-0. We played really poorly. I'm nervous, but it's a pre-season friendly. I can't be that depressed about it.
Fair. All right, well, Bournemouth, that kicks off on Sunday at 2 p.m. here in the UK. Arsenal, Coventry... it's 8 p.m. kickoff on Friday, the first game of the Premier League season.
In fact, let me ask you a question.
Right.
Because last week you said I think City will win the league, and you said Arsenal won't win the league.
Yeah, I did.
Well, how do you feel now?
God, you are so bad that I have to. I still don't think Arsenal will win. I don't want to go on record and think Arsenal will win the league, because I still don't know if that's going to happen. I think back to back is quite difficult. I still think we'll pick up major silverware across the four, but maybe not the Premier League. I just don't know now if City, and I shouldn't gauge it off one game as well. And I thought you having Haaland and that in your team, and Don, I still thought like there's enough to have you up there in the conversation. And I, do you know what? I'll still stick with it. I still will stick with it. I still think you'll make signings, and there's still quality there for you to compete. I just, because I haven't seen the rest of the clubs. Chelsea, I don't think, has been great. Man United lost to, what's their ex-manager's name? Amorim. I know it's only pre-season, but like they were terrible in that game. So I'm just like, I can't gauge too much. I tried not to watch too many other people's pre-season friendlies. I think it's pointless to just focus on your own team. But there's going to be someone up there alongside Arsenal. I automatically think it's Man City all the time. People keep telling me about Chelsea.
So you actually don't think Arsenal will win the Premier League this year, do you?
No, that's genuine. I can't look too much into the Community Shield as well, because it's the Community Shield. And that's the truth of the matter. I get a good gauge after the first, I think, five games tell a really good story for how our season's going to go. And then by Christmas, I kind of know. I make up my decision around that time. So, that's where I stand. That is where I stand. I don't know if we win it. I don't know if we win it, but I think we do really well. All right, now let's predict. Let's predict the season then, Kim. Who wins the Premier League then? Go on, say Arsenal for me. Go on. Because
I think Arsenal win the Premier League.
And it's not, and I'm half doing the don't want to jinx it, but I actually do believe this. So I'm going to go City. It's crazy to say that after the weekend we've had, but why is because I just think that they're still very good. One thing I want to just mention to you though, Ruben Diaz, you said he was the captain, yeah? And you said he's just not the same anymore. In that All or Nothing documentary, he looked like the man that pulled that team together and threw a lot. When it comes to the conversations, the big talks, he was one in the middle.
Yeah.
So I
think he's a good leader. Just don't think he's a very good player at the moment. I don't think he's been a very good player for the last couple of years, to be honest.
Okay.
I think all of those goals yesterday, if people were to believe about Ruben Diaz, what is kind of put out there about him being one of the best centre-backs in the world, I don't think those goals happen. That's the truth. I think he's an overrated player. I like him. I like him as a person, but I think he's an overrated player.
Who finishes second? I'm going to go Arsenal. You're going to go... Are you going to say City?
I think Chelsea.
This Chelsea narrative is pissing me off. Excuse my language, but everyone's saying it. One game a week, Alonso's a good manager. I hope they just crash and burn. I don't know. I have a big hatred for Chelsea just for the era I grew up in, the age I am, and they were winning things when I was in school and stuff. But anyway, on top of that, they haven't been in the title race since they won the league. They've just been a shambles. So, second for me will be us. Who gets relegated?
It's really boring, but I think
no, not the three teams. No, no.
I think it is.
Coventry stay up. I think Newcastle will be in a bit of trouble.
You don't think Newcastle?
I don't think they'll go down, but I think they'll be. Do you know what? No, I don't think they'll go down. I think they'll be in a bit of trouble. So, two other teams are Hull and give me the other team. It's Ipswich Town, I think, go down. And then I'm going to just throw in Newcastle just to be safe. Or Everton float a lot, but no. Newcastle.
I think Ipswich, Hull, and...
Ipswich, Hull, and the other promoted team is Coventry. Correct. Okay. Who gets... biggest surprise package? Biggest surprise package will be...
Fulham. I think people are expecting Fulham to be poor. I think under Arbeloa, they'll be really good. And they've just signed those two Real Madrid players as well.
Good one.
What about you?
Bournemouth are supposedly going to have a bad season. So lost Iriola. And I think he is the glue. But I actually think he does okay. Is that a surprise pack? Yeah, I'm going to go Bournemouth. That's not like champions or Europe spots, but they don't get relegated.
I think Forest under Glasner as well.
Interesting.
Could do really well.
I think Brentford done really well last season because they lost all of their backroom staff, manager, players, big players. I think they could have another good season, but so that's a lot of nothings there. I've gone Bournemouth, you've gone Rami, a surprise package, you've gone Fulham. Biggest disappointment? Chelsea.
You think?
Yeah. I don't know if there's not enough. There's not enough. I haven't got enough context yet behind it. But give me a week. Give me the first game of the season. I'll do all my in-depth analysis, and I'll come back with a real reason. But Chelsea for me, because everyone is saying they're going to be the surprise package that pushes them up there this season, and I think they go the opposite way.
Man United for me.
That was the next club I was looking at.
Yeah, they'll be mid-table. 100%.
I don't know if that'll happen. But that'll be the biggest disappointment if it does, because no one's expecting it. Which teams are the most excited to watch? Arsenal. I think we changed the way we play. Which team are the most excited to watch? Yeah, I think Arsenal. I think there's a big storyline. Can they go back-to-back? Can they do something that they've never done before in their history? Can they do well in Europe and win a Champions League? I think they're going to be...
Obviously going to be the most boring team to watch. Anyone other than Arsenal fans would say that. The most exciting team to watch would be Spurs. 100%. Yeah. They've got De Zerbi, who's all out attack. He's mental. They've just spent loads and loads of money on attackers. They're going to be class to watch.
They could start losing.
And exactly. Yeah, but they'll concede and they'll score. Just like they were under Ange. They'll be the best game, Spurs games. 100%.
Arsenal change their style of play. We'd be excited. We get more 3-0s like we did yesterday. Signing of the summer. Bruno G. Is it Bruno G?
No.
Is it Bruno G? No, I think it is.
You can't just say Arsenal for all of the positive.
No, I know.
It's kind of crazy.
But let's be real. Like, Tielemans. Right, come on, let's be real. Bawadi maybe come into the league. That would be exciting to watch. But Bruno G, come on, give me.
It's probably Bruno G. Let's move on. Let's just move on.
Players to watch. Bruno G, I'm joking. Player to watch. Bruno Fernandes, can he get the same amount of assists this season? Can he do that? Who am I really keeping an eye on this season? It's got to be an Arsenal player. I'm sorry. Solis for me is going to be an interesting watch. I'm doing Arsenal. I can't help it. He's just supposed to be a backup, but he's been so good.
Do you know who will be mint this year? James Maddison. He'll stay fit and he'll be amazing, yeah. Yeah, that's my pick.
Okay. Igor Thiago, will he be able to replicate the same amount of goal scoring? Oh, actually, wait, did he? Yeah, he stayed in the league. Yeah. Igor Thiago. That is a good player to watch. Yeah. As in, would he be able to replicate those numbers? And then one more. Sorry. Danny Welbeck at Chelsea.
He could actually bag, couldn't he?
I wouldn't mind. Yeah. I'm intrigued to see what he does.
He could actually
bag. That's a good one. That's a good one. I'll take it away from Arsenal. Danny Welbeck. Manager under the most pressure is... It's not Arteta.
Mm.
It's not. It is actually one of the new... Man United is a massive club, so Carrick's under pressure because he's at Man United and he's got to do better than what he did last season. He came third, he's got to do better. Enzo Maresca is under pressure because of...
I think he's under external pressure.
Yeah, not from maybe from City, but from...
City will probably give him time.
We will give... Yeah, we... Rival fans will cook.
I think even City fans, if we start playing really boring, terrible football after 10 years of Pep, it's not going to fly, I don't think.
Agreed.
So I would say he's under probably the most amount of pressure from his own fans. But actually, in those top six places, probably the least amount of pressure from the hierarchy. I don't think City are the type of club to sack someone after 6 months. I would be amazed if he doesn't see out the year. Even if he's doing really badly, I think he'll stay.
Yeah, Arteta, because he won a Premier League last season, he's not under pressure. I think it's got to be... It's Carrick, it's Enzo, and even potentially Iriola. I think he's a great manager, Adonis Iriola. But because Slot won the league in his first season, there's little pressure there. Not that they're saying they have to win the league in the first season from Iriola, but... There will be pressure at Liverpool. Who's going to have a breakout season?
As a player?
I think you've got to go Bawadi.
Bawadi if he comes.
If he comes. Who's going to flop? Last question. Who's going to flop? Player-wise or club? Or player? Or manager? I've kind of said it. I've kind of gone on the whole... I've gone strong on Chelsea. I might be wrong and strong. I really need to... Let me just check Chelsea's first game of the season just to see if I can get some strength behind this argument, because I need to watch... Then play. They got Fulham away.
Tough game.
They got Fulham.
I think Chelsea would be good. I think they'll be good. I think Brighton could flop this year.
Okay. Interesting. Newcastle, maybe. But that's obvious. That's an obvious one. Anyway, right. After this, we're going to be closing off the show with some game predictions. We kind of mentioned some of the first fixtures of the Premier League, and we're giving our predictions with a little, well, there's a little bit of wager on here, because we'll be returning back to those predictions and seeing who got them right. Who has the ball knowledge? Who knows ball the best?
VAR, you serious on FUBAR Radio?
All right, to close, let's run through this. Kimothy, 1 point for the right result, 3 points for the exact correct score.
I'm going to be writing these
down.
Oh,
I was just about to say, who's writing this down? I see Yaz in the back. Yaz is in the producer's chair, but you're going to write them down, Kim, yeah?
I will write them down.
Can you make sure once you write them down, all of them, you screenshot it and you send it to me, just in case you try and cheat?
I never cheat. That's probably not true, actually. Anyway.
Here we go. Arsenal, Coventry.
3-1, Arsenal.
We don't concede. We do not concede. This is a very, very risky clip that could get put on social media. We don't concede. We win 2-0. Could be 3-0. 2-0.
Right, next game.
Hull, Man United. It's at Hull.
2-1 to Man United.
Yeah.
You're really not doing the quick fire.
No, I'm not good at quick fire. I think they draw. I don't believe this, but I think they draw 1-1.
Cool.
Nottingham Forest, Leeds.
Oof.
It's at Forest. Leeds.
I think 3-0 to Forest.
Forest are so good at the City Ground. They are good, but Leeds are a good force. It's going to be goals. A lot of goals. We're going to go 3-2 Forest. I was actually going to go Leeds. Everton Palace at the Hill Dickinson.
1-1.
That is a scrap. That is a great score prediction. 1-1 as well. I like that. That's very good. Ipswich versus Sunderland.
Well, that's a good game. That is a good game.
That is a championship
2-2.
Scrap.
2-2.
That is a championship scrap. That is a championship. No, Ipswich come up with a bit of buzz. Sunderland. Is Brian Brobbey still there though? He's going to score. 2-1 to Ipswich. That's wild. 2-1 to Ipswich. Brentford Spurs.
2-1 to Spurs.
Brentford win 1-0.
Wow.
City versus Bournemouth.
Oh, that's a tough one, isn't
2-1
it?
2-1 for me. 2-1. I'd love to see you lose, but 2-1 City.
I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0. I think we'll be better than we were yesterday, but...
City!
I could struggle.
Blue Moon! Sorry, I'm loving this. Anyway, Brighton versus Villa. Villa. No. Ooh. This is a good game.
2-1 Villa.
2-2.
2-2.
Yep. Newcastle versus Liverpool at St. James's Park.
Oh my God.
This is a mad one. You can't tell me to do this one quick. This one's tough. Iriola's first game at St. James Park's not a joke. New manager though.
1-0 Newcastle.
That's 3-0 Liverpool.
Wow.
Mental. It's probably not going to happen. But, do you know what? Why not? Fulham Chelsea at Craven Cottage. Come on, Fulham. Come on, you cottagers. What is their nickname?
Yeah, probably that. But I think, yeah, anyway, I don't want to get into cottaging. I'm pretty sure it's something different, but that is their name.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. No. Or the Whites. Lily Whites?
No, that's Spurs. That Lily Whites.
Whites?
White? I think it could be the Whites.
What come on, it? You Whites. It sounds a bit.
That sounds very Brexit. Sounds good. Let me. Right. Fulham Chelsea. Give me your score.
I think 2-1 Chelsea.
No, Fulham win. This is hopium here. It's not going to be 1-0. 2-1 Fulham. That's my prediction.
All right, well, we'll come back to them next week. We'll add up the scores.
Screenshot it now.
Of course I'll screenshot it. We'll add up the scores and we will come back to it throughout the season and we'll see.
I don't know if I need to wait. I don't know if I need to wager back my £100, but do you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, we'll work it. We'll work it. All right. Well, that is it for today's VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. It's actually brought to you by Kim Kafari and Cecil G. Thomas on FUBAR Radio. Lovely listen. Hope you all enjoyed. Take care and enjoy the rest of your week. Arsenal are Community Shield champions as well as Premier League champions. Don't forget. Take care. Love.
VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio.